Almighty God, we thank you that this morning we can come into your presence to worship. We cry, holy, holy, holy to you, Father. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor, praise, and glory. We have so much to be thankful for this morning, Lord. So much to praise you for. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. As we have come to worship you in song and just in the quiet of our hearts, we come to worship you in prayer and praising. We've come to worship you by looking at your word. Speak to us, Lord, as we have come to worship you. We pray for those that are sick today. There's some not here because they're not well. There's some in our midst that will never be back because they're not well. Please watch over them. By your Spirit, Father, please speak to our communities, those that maybe have never gone to church or maybe used to once and don't anymore, but maybe there's some that just don't want to. Father, speak to them by your Spirit. Help them to know you love them. Help them to know Jesus died. And help us, your church, to be there for you when you need us to say a word to them, to encourage them, to love them, to invite them, to pray for them. Thank you again, Father, for all the churches in our communities. Guide the pastors and the leaders this morning as we lead. Guide our teachers. Guide us, Father, in all that we say and do. We want to bring you glory. Thank you for what you've done here, Father. We think of this last year, and it's just miracle after miracle. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done in redeeming souls, transforming lives, healing the sick, binding up the brokenhearted, comforting the lonely, walking with the weary. Thank you, Father. Glorify your name in our midst, O Lord, now and always. Thank you again for this building that you've allowed us to build and expand ministry into. Glorify your name here, Lord, until Jesus comes. Thank you for each person here today. You know our hearts. You know if we hurt. You know if we're hurting. Speak to us today, Father. Guide us to a closer walk with you, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As I was thinking about our quiet time before the Lord this morning, I was thinking and praying and praising like they did in Revelation. And I was thinking about that scene in Revelation. And when you read about what they saw, what John saw at the throne room of God, thunderings and lightnings and people praying thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, it wasn't a very quiet time. You know what I'm saying? They were worshiping the Lord with all kinds of energy and excitement. But I like quiet time too. I like both ways to worship the Lord. This week, as I mentioned, a number of us will be gone to our conference meetings, and the conference meetings kick off a new conference year, and our theme for this next year will be prayer. And so we'll be focusing on prayer later this week in our conference meetings. And as I've mentioned, to you before, and I think I put it in the newsletter this week, on August 8th, we're going to have a gathering, a cookout, if you will, and an afternoon of prayer, because that's what our theme is for this year, and I think that prayer is vitally important to the ministry. Amen? I think prayer is vitally important to our everyday lives. I think if we don't have time to pray, we're just plain too busy. And so prayer is going to be our theme the 3 days at the end of this week. But also at this conference, our superintendent, I have been an assistant superintendent for the last year, and our superintendent and assistants will roll out a statement to all the delegates and to the pastors about disciple making. Now, I don't know if any of you noticed, but for the last couple of weeks, our banners have been changed, and they have been from Matthew 28:19, which we all know, most of us know, to be the Great Commission. And our superintendent at the end of this week will roll out to all of our conference pastors and to the delegates a statement that will ask our conference delegates and pastors to subscribe to this. Tim, do you have that ready for me? He's going to ask our conference delegates and pastors to subscribe to this statement, which says, a disciple is a radical follower of Jesus, living out self-sacrificial love and helping others do the same. And then he's going to take it a step further. He's going to pass that down to us as pastors, and we pastors have to keep each other accountable in this lifestyle. And this will be the challenge for our churches, to be disciples. To be disciples, and disciples, as the Great Commission says, are to make disciples. And so later this week, we're going to hear more about that, a little bit more. And I have had this whole idea of discipleship on my mind for some time, a month or more, and I wanted to take some time at some point to talk for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, about discipleship. And so that's what we're going to embark on today. You might think, why do we need a statement? Why worry about it, after all? Well, partly because Jesus commissioned us. Matthew 28:19-20 says very clearly, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You say, yeah, but Jim, he's talking about to the 12. He's talking to the church. Yeah, he was talking to the 12 and he's talking to the church. Disciples make disciples. Disciples reproduce disciples. And he commissioned us, the church of the first century as well as the 21st century, to go and make disciples. And so why make a statement? Why worry about it? Because Jesus commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, Jesus said, teaching them is vitally important to make disciples. Teaching is vitally important to any student of anything. Pick any one of your careers, like Dan is a dentist, and some of you will have professional careers and business careers and farming careers, and we have to be taught before we're good at what we do. It's no different in walking with Jesus. And that's why Jesus commissioned the church to go and make disciples and then teach them about my teachings. And so, he said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We, in the 21st century, have been commissioned to go and make disciples. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but some of the Free Methodist literature that we have and have seen from time to time, and I know this is true for lots of churches, but it's certainly true in ours, we have some main core things that we subscribe to. One of them, of course, is the Great Commandment. We all know that, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The other one is the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. Those are some of our core makeup. And so when Jesus commanded this many, many years ago, he was saying as much as anything, go and make contact in your communities and reproduce Christ followers. Let me ask you for a second. Do you suppose in any place in his word, he said, stay in the church and wait for them to come to you and teach them when they get there? That's not what he said, is it? He commissioned us to go and make disciples. Now, praise be to God, people out of curiosity and out of wonderment or interest sometimes do come to church seeking. But Jesus was very clear when he said, in your everyday living and in your everyday going, while you're living, while you're going, while you're living life, make disciples. And so, you see, friends, we exist as a church to make more disciples. Let me just say this before I go into any scripture. I got some scripture coming up here, but let me just say one more thing about making disciples. We probably cannot make disciples if we have not become one ourselves. I would suggest that, I'll use Dan again. He's in a profession that I don't know anything about, and I can't do anything in his profession to teach anybody else about that. And it's the same way as disciples. We must help. We must become a disciple. Dan had to become a dentist before he could teach others to become a dentist. And we must become disciples, followers, surrendered followers of Christ, before we can help others become disciples. That just makes sense, doesn't it? We have to be a disciple before we can disciple. And so first and foremost, if we're not a disciple, if we're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is our prerequisite, of course. We must come to know Him as Lord. And further, back to the statement that Tim posted that we're going to talk about later this week in our conference, we'll probably not even think about making disciples if we ourselves are not radically following Christ. We probably won't even think about it if we're not radically following Christ. If Jesus only gets 30 minutes or 45 minutes or 60 minutes of my time on Sundays, and the rest of the week it's my time, we're probably never going to think about making disciples. And so, for today, I want to focus on just one thing. Before we focus on making disciples, I want us to focus on this question. What level of commitment is required to be called a disciple by Jesus? Luke 14:25, if you have your Bibles. What level of commitment is required to be called a disciple by the Master Jesus? And while you're looking that up, and it'll be on the big screen for you, I hope you've got your Bibles. I hope you'll follow along in them. It's good for us to know where this stuff is and to see it on the printed page. But I want you to consider what level of commitment is required. We're going to answer that question to be called a disciple. And then I want you also to consider for a moment, would you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus? And so with those two thoughts in mind, let's see what Jesus said about what it takes to be His disciple. Luke 14, beginning at 25, I'm going to read some of the verses through 35. Now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and He said to them, okay, He saw this multitude coming. He saw this multitude following Him. That's okay, He can't hurt nothing back there. He saw this multitude coming to follow Him, and He turns to them and said, Tim, let me see the next one. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And so Jesus sees this vast, curious group coming. For whatever reason, perhaps they wanted to follow, perhaps they wanted to see another miracle, perhaps they wanted to be fed, but He saw this great multitude following, perhaps would-be followers, would-be disciples, and He turned and He said to them, this isn't easy, you know. He turned and said to them, don't take this lightly, this committing to be my follower. This is not a part-time gig. That's what in essence He's telling this crowd, the would-be followers. This isn't easy. Then He talks about counting the cost. And so Jesus challenged this great multitude. If you want to be my disciple, it's not easy. There may even be a cost. I could tell us all the rest of this morning about the cost that it's costing Christians in Syria, or North Korea, or Pakistan. And matter of fact, Pastor Salek's group there in Pakistan is going to be holding their first meetings this week in their new compound. They got the walls built. They got the guard towers built. And he sent me a picture. And in the guard towers are armed guards to go to church. There may be a cost to following Christ. And so Jesus looks at the crowds here, and He's not saying, I don't want you as followers. He's not saying that to anybody. He's just saying it may not be easy. And it's not a part-time thing. I want you to take it seriously. If you're going to be my disciple, you've got to take it seriously. You've got to deny your own self even. You have got to, as it were, and he says in there, and yes, doesn't hate his own life, can't be my disciple. In other words, you've got to put him first. He said to them, if you're going to follow me, folks, you've got to put me first. I can't come somewhere down the agenda. I can't come somewhere down the list if you've got time. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you've got to forget, you've got to have the will to forget your own agenda and follow. Now, he's not telling you to just walk away and abandon your family, but he's saying to us that he must be first. And then he goes on to say, I'm going to skip down to 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. We have to be willing to walk away from everything material. We have to be willing, if we're going to be his disciple, to put all of that on the back burner. Salt, he ends this little discussion with, to these multitudes that were following him. Salt is good. Being a disciple is good. Following Christ is good. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Because if it's lost its saltiness, he says, it's no good. It's neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men just throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so the question again, what level of commitment is required to be called a disciple by the Master? It's a level of commitment that puts him first. Puts him first. He'll take care of the rest, I assure you. He loves you. He loves what he has for us to do. But we've got to put him first to be his disciple. I heard somebody say once this quote, a quick prayer to gain absolution from sin or a ticket to heaven is very different than becoming a disciple. You know what I'm saying? A quick run to the altar and then forget about Jesus the next day is not becoming a disciple. A quick prayer to maybe gain absolution from sin or maybe my ticket to glory is not all there is to becoming a disciple. It's very different. Becoming a disciple is a willingness to follow the Master through thick and thin. Jesus stated very clearly that if we're not willing to give up our jobs, our families, our titles, our possessions, we cannot be his disciple. You know what, friends? Let me just say, the price that was paid for us to be disciples is a very high price. Jesus paid a very high price. And the cost of being a radical follower of Jesus Christ is not cheap either. May I just suggest, I look at current events, although not as much as most of you because I don't watch the 6 o'clock news. I only get PBS, so I don't get all the rest of the CNNs and the Fox and the CBSs and all the stuff that you see, so I don't see everything, but I see enough. Things aren't going well. You may have noticed. Anybody notice? Things aren't going well morally. The spiritual foundation, the moral foundation of America is crumbling. And may I just suggest, one of the reasons could be what we see in America and Christianity today is because we in the church have not been making disciples. May I just suggest that we need to be intentional about making disciples. Pastor Bob Hepikoski at Staples Alliance just 2 weeks ago to our graduating seniors He addressed, there was about 25, 30 of the graduating class there that night. His own son was one of them. And he addressed those seniors and he said to them, statistics will say that in 4 years, 4 years from right now, you young men and women that have been raised in the church, 75% or more of you will leave the church. That's the ones that have been raised in church. And he challenged them, the onus is now on them to make sure they continue the walk. But may I just suggest, brothers and sisters, and this, I happen to be the pastor here, so it's my fault. It's our fault in Christianity if we're not turning out disciples. And I know the world's talons are sharp, and I know sin is tempting. We talked about sin long enough. I know all of that. But I feel and I fear that some of the reason that we see what we see in America today and even in Christianity is because we want to see numbers, we want to amuse, we want to feel good about stuff, but we don't want the messy job of making disciples. Jesus said, make disciples. And when you baptize them, teach them everything I've taught you. And I just think that we, the church, have to be very intentional about helping people grow. I think we have to be very intentional. It doesn't matter if you're these kids' age or 80 when you come to Christ. We have to be intentional about helping them grow. Amen? That's what making disciples is. We can't say thank you very much for showing up at church and coming to the altar one day. Have a good day and have a good life. We've got to be intentional about helping them grow in Christ. That's what making disciples is. I was thinking about our children. We got a lot of children coming to VBS and came to Awana and come to Sunday school, and I'm so thankful for children. Amen? Next year's church. Next year's leaders. My own Henry and Christian will be fourth graders next year. They can't be expected to jump into 12th grade without being trained and taught. Your children that are kindergartners or your grandchildren can't be expected to be in sixth grade and ready for that next year until they have been trained and taught. And it's the same way with being a disciple. It's the same way with walking with Jesus. We can't expect the brand new believer that came off the street, knows nothing about Christ, knows nothing about redemption, but knows they happen to be a sinner who needs a Savior and comes to know Christ. We can't expect them to have all the answers. And that's why Jesus said, after he said, go and make disciples, he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all the things that I have taught you. Make disciples has to be intentional. And so, I know that sometimes in churches we're probably guilty of wanting to see big numbers on the roll. Wanting to turn in big numbers of members or baptisms or conversions. And I know that sometimes we in the church are guilty of wanting to have all kinds of fun and be comfortable and perhaps even amuse. But friends, we must take on the hard, sometimes messy work also of making disciples. So when our faith gets challenged and our road gets weary and the way gets steep, we don't falter and say, I don't need this Jesus thing. I don't need this church. But we hang in there because we have been grounded in Jesus. Jesus said, count the cost. When you read those in-between verses that I didn't happen to read, but they're in there. Jesus said, count the cost. It isn't cheap. And so, let me just close with this. A disciple, we've been challenged with in our conference, is a radical follower of Jesus Christ. A radical follower of Jesus Christ, living out love, living out that love for God and love for others, living that out. And let me also remind us, Jesus has called us, He's invited us to be disciples, to be His followers. And when we have chosen to follow Him, He has commissioned us to make disciples. I need to help you. We need to help each other. You in turn need to help others. We as disciples need to make disciples. We need to help people get solid in Christ. We need to help people get grounded in Christ. We need to help people have a foundation. We need to help people grow in their faith in Christ. Be accountable and help them then be disciple makers. And so next week we will talk further. Next week is communion, but we will talk further about disciples. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great commission. Forgive me, O Lord, and us in your church when we have not done a very good job of making disciples. Help us, Lord, be disciples, be willing to put you first at all cost, and help us to be diligent and intentional and faithful about making disciples. Thank you for everyone here. Equip us, encourage us, strengthen us, and help us to be disciple makers. Our society and our nation desperately needs passionate people willing to follow Jesus rather than being conformed to the image of the world. And help us in your church, O God, to be disciples, radically in love with Jesus, radically following Jesus, and willing to be a disciple maker in everyday life. Help us, O Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.